message comes into the KFGO studio via text message and says, Mike, a bolt pistol contains no ammo. It fires a bolt into the back of the head near the brain stem. How they got the giraffe to bend down is a whole nother story. No, I think we referenced, the movie I referenced when it came to the bolt pistol was, what was the name of it, Pinto?
No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men. And that the guy, the villain in that movie, used a bolt weapon of some kind. It wasn't a pistol necessarily, but it was some sort of, it was the weapon that they use in slaughterhouses to kill cattle or pigs or whatever. That's the weapon he used to kill people in the movie.
Creepiest villain I've ever seen in a movie.
Well, yes. Now, I'm not creepiest, but certainly most bone-chilling, maybe.
To me, it kind of means the same thing.
Okay.
Just makes your skin crawl.
Yes, just a heartless, soulless killer. Very violent, very bloody movie. But actually, a pretty good movie, pretty good story. Speaking of heartless, soulless murders, let's try to find a segue for this. And bring in Clay Jenkinson, our usual Monday guest on the Mike McFeely Show, who, by the way, Clay is 1 year older since we last talked to him. Hello, Clay Jenkinson. How are you?
It's great to talk with you, my friend.
Happy birthday to you.
Hey, thank you. I'm now 59 years old. Did you ever think you'd get old?
No.
Isn't that weird? As a matter of fact,
I thought
I was perennially young, and then I realized, oh, no, I'm old.
Yes, and it's a sobering day when that happens. And I told Daniel a story off air when I kind of realized that I was old, and I don't want to share it on air because it was kind of a little inside story, but it's kind of like I went, oh, wait a second, I'm old now.
Yeah, that's really horrible. I used to be the youngest person in every room, and when you realize you no longer are, that now you're actually, people call you sir.
Well,
and waitresses call you sir.
Yeah, I haven't had that problem. Usually people call me bad names when they talk to me, so it's, yeah. I don't be called sir. Say, when we last left off with you, Clay, you were talking about being thrown in a Soviet gulag or something back in the day when you were on the road. What was that story all about? You have to share this with us.
I was at Oxford. I studied for 4 years at Oxford, and my friend Douglas from Colorado Springs had Slavic ancestors. They'd come over to be in the coal mines in southern Colorado. And so for one of our spring breaks, the long, long breaks at Oxford, we decided to go on a hiking tour through the Alps in what's now Yugoslavia, and that we would then connect with his people. And so this was a great adventure. And so we went off and bought backpacks and went off to Yugoslavia on the Orient Express, and I'd never been in a communist country before. This was when Tito was still alive. And we hiked for a number of days, and it was very interesting and beautiful. And then we decided to take a train to across this mountain to another place. And we were young and idealistic. And on the train, I said, you know, here we are. Now we're on a train. Pretty soon we'll be renting a car. Now this is where we are blowing the theme of this trip, which was we were going to earn every mile with our feet. So we got off the train in the middle of this mountain. It stopped for a few minutes, and we got off the train. And then we realized, not till the next day, that we had inadvertently gotten off this train in the middle of a military reservation.
Oh.
In Yugoslavia.
Yes.
A communist country.
Yes. And you're Americans.
So the next day we were arrested, and they took us into this holding tank, and there was this sort of Barney Fife communist guy who was looking through our packs. And I had, you know, I had all this high-tech gear, so I got out this little Speyer stove, this little Scandinavian stove, and it obviously did look like a bomb. And he pulled his gun on me. And we were under house arrest for 48 hours, and they brought in this, you know, the one English-speaking person in this village, and he immediately took a dislike to us. And then, here, but this will convince all of the people who dislike you and dislike me that they were right. I was keeping a journal. I was studying ancient Greek, and I was keeping a journal on this trip with Greek phrases in it and translations of Homer. And so when they went to my journal, they found all this code in Greek, which proved that I was CIA. And they said, well, how can you explain this? And I said, you know, I'm a pathetic nerd who's studying ancient Greek in order to read Homer. Well, try that under the communist flag. And so my Greek, actually, my friend Douglas said, you know, can you give it a rest? You know, now we're going to be wind up in a Turkish prison because you can't leave your Homer back at Oxford. And so then they gave us 72 hours to get out of the country and never came back when they finally realized we were just idiots.
So,
but they stole the film from my camera. I mean, we were really a little concerned.
Were you scared? That was going to be my next question, because if I was being interrogated by the Yugoslavia military, I would have been quite concerned for my safety.
I sold out America right away and said, I've always been a communist. I'm in favor of communism. I love this Tito. He's my hero. My middle name is Tito. But they didn't buy it. I was scared to death because when this guy pulled a gun on me, I mean, I've only had a gun pulled on me once. Well, twice. But once, a pistol. And when he pulled this pistol on me, I thought, you know, this could go wrong quickly. But it didn't.
Very interesting. I can say that, you know, I'm not nearly as well traveled as you, but I have not ever been thrown in a Yugoslavian prison before. So that's
I wish it were a better story than it is, and that we'd had to dig our way out. But it was scary.
It's still pretty good, though.
I'll tell you how bad it was. I didn't tell my parents for 10 years.
Well, you don't want to concern mom when she doesn't need to be
concerned.
When
she finally found out, she still had a fit.
So you went past the whole name, rank, serial number thing and just right away just sold out America, just right under the bus.
I sold out. I said that I always thought that Marx was smarter than Jefferson and that, you know, that our country was a stooge capitalist country that was going to die on its own pathetic class system. But they weren't buying it.
So did you ever get to your destination? Did you find the family that you were supposed
with? Then we find the family. It gets worse. So then we find the family. Now we don't tell them we only have like 62 more hours to get out of the country once and for all. And we find the family, and they don't speak English. We don't speak Serbo-Croatian. So it turned out to be something of a farce. And then they kept taking us to feasts, like three feasts in one night, all with blintzes and gross sausages. And we drank prodigious quantities of wine, and when you add all of our fear and nervousness together, I remember spending a fair amount of that last night in Yugoslavia hovered over a Yugoslavian toilet hole. It was self-imposed torture by now.
That is a story I've not heard before.
It's a great story, and I've
heard nobody else ever tell anything like it before.
But Tito was, I mean, I actually was something of an admirer of Tito because, you know, he stood up to Stalin and he forged a middle path between the United States and capitalism on the one hand and Soviet communism on the other. And he was a hero of World War II. And so I'm just joking about selling out the United States, but I was sort of an admirer of Tito's. And this was a period when Carter and Tito had just had a summit. And so the Yugoslavs were in a fairly good mood about the United States, which probably helped. Well, My advice to people is never get off in the middle of a military reservation.
Yeah, Marshal Tito, he was not your mainline communist guy. He was kind of a rebel communist.
No, he was,
right?
and you know, if you read it, I've read biographies of him, and he's a fascinating figure. He was one of the partisans who stood up to both Hitler and Stalin, and carved out. He made Yugoslavia. You know, since Yugoslavia broke up, it's all that factionalism and Bosnia and Serbians and, I mean, horrible ethnic strife, and Tito was able to hold it all together and bring Yugoslavia into almost the first world, sort of the top of the second world.
Very good. Clay, hang on. I want to ask you some more questions. We'll talk about some happenings in North Dakota. We've got to stop talking about Yugoslavia and move on to some North Dakota topics. We have reached the home stretch of the Mike McFeely Show on this Monday afternoon. Clay Jenkinson, our usual Monday guest, for just a couple of more minutes. And Clay, just have a couple minutes, as I said, but have you been following what's going on in Griggs County, North Dakota, with these county commissioners who have sort of taken over the county commission after they recalled the previous county commissioners? And now they are slashing the budget, they're cutting jobs, they have all of Griggs County sort of in an uproar about what they're doing. And it's, to me, it is maybe a sign that you have people taking over government who don't really know what the hell they're doing. And they have their beliefs, they have their ideals, and beyond that, they really don't know what else to do.
Well, it shows a couple of things. I think you're right that there are people who have very strong convictions about government and regulation and taxation and the people and the sheriff. And you know, this is virtually posse comitatus stuff. And then they get elected. And then it turns out they have no capacity to govern. And this is happening with the extreme Tea Party people in the Congress. They're really obstructionists. You know, why would you go there at all if your only desire is not to do anything with government? But a lot of these people feel that way. But the second thing is, of course, that this is proof that the oil boom is spotty. You know, if out in Watford City and in Grassy Butte, people realize you do need government.
Mm-hmm.
But in these dying counties, these really troubled counties that have not gotten the benefits of the oil boom, it is a serious issue whether we actually even need county government in some of these places. And I understand the impulse to cut and cut and cut, but I think there's a lot of naivete at work here, and I think the people will decide they don't want to continue putting obstructionists into key government positions, state, local, or national.
Well, the part, and I read the story, honestly, in the Grand Forks Herald, I think it was, over the weekend, and when you're talking about people who have been employed by the county government for 20 or 30 years, and one woman in particular had held two jobs. She was a secretary in one office and an administrative assistant in another, or something along those lines. And her combined salary from the county was $35,000 or something along those lines. And I realized that $35,000 in Cooperstown is a lot different than $35,000 in Chicago. But we're not talking about people who are breaking the bank with extravagant salaries. We're talking about friends and neighbors and people who have invested their lives in these communities. And John Wakefield and others are cutting them without a second thought, just saying, "Oops, sorry, we don't need your job anymore. Bye-bye."
In some of these counties, the county government is the biggest employer.
Yes.
And it's essential for families, you know, and no one's living on $35,000 per year comfortably, whether it's Cooperstown or Marmarth or New York City. That's too small an amount of money. But if anyone thinks she's wasting it, you know, that's insane. That's minimum wage for government service in this country. And, you know, it's sort of heartbreaking to see this sort of ideology take over. You see more and more of it. I mean, I think North Dakota's become obsessed again that property is the only human value, which is insane.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Clay, we're short on time. Thank you very much, as always. We'll talk again.
I look forward to our next encounter.
I may see you Friday, right? Are you buzzing through town?
You know, and Monday I could come on. I'll be there live. I'm coming back through.
Oh, fantastic.
And I'm planning my trip so I can come in and sit across from you and bring you another gift that you will re-gift.
Please stop at a convenience store and get me a gift that I can give to somebody
else. I thought a long time about that gift.
I don't think you did. Thank you, Clay.
Bye.
See you next Monday.